KOI in Portland, it's 10 o'clock.
CBS News. Patricia Hearst is wanted by the FBI as a material witness to a San Francisco bank robbery. I'm Jim Kilpatrick reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Cameras inside the bank photographed four women and one man during the Monday robbery. The FBI has tentatively identified one of the women as Patricia Hearst. The robbery gang reportedly told bank officials they were members of the SLA. The three other women identified in the photo are believed by the FBI to be deeply involved with the SLA. What is not clear to authorities is whether Patricia Hearst willingly participated in the robbery or not. The photograph reportedly shows her holding a gun, but also shows another person pointing a gun in her direction, or that person believed to be Patty Hearst. The gun, according to the U.S. attorney, could either be pointed at Ms. Hearst or at tellers behind the counter. Authorities say if they can determine Patricia Hearst participated under her own free will, she will be charged with bank robbery. 12 days ago, Patricia Hearst, in a tape-recorded message, renounced her former life and said she had decided to stay with her SLA kidnappers. In the robbery Monday, two bystanders were seriously wounded. Patricia's parents are in Mexico and were expected to return to San Francisco Tuesday. CBS News continues after this.
People can reach, people can touch, people can help people so much.
This is Paul Newman speaking. I want to tell you about one of the most courageous actors I know, Bill Gargan. At the height of his very successful career, Bill lost his voice to cancer of the larynx. Naturally, everyone thought Bill was through as a performer. But thanks to his fighting spirit, his determination, and also the American Cancer Society's laryngectomy rehabilitation program, Bill learned to speak again. Now he's giving the finest performances of his career, inspiring others like him to find new voices and renewed confidence there's a full life ahead. When your American Cancer Society volunteer calls, think of Bill Gargan and give generously. Join the people who care about people. We want to wipe out cancer in your lifetime.
Voters in Michigan's 8th congressional district go to the polls Tuesday to select a new congressman in a special election. The district has been Republican for the past 42 years. President Nixon personally campaigned for the Republican candidate, James Sperling. Democratic candidate Robert Traxler says the election is a referendum on the president, his economic policies, Watergate, and personal taxes.
He came here, as you'll recall, and placed himself right out on the line. And he campaigned for his former staff aide, urged people to vote for him. No, vote for Sperling is a vote for Nixon. It's just that plain and clear.
Democratic candidate Robert Traxler. His Republican opposition, James Sperling, disagrees.
I don't think there's any question that the 8th District voters are smart and sophisticated, and they know that they're electing a congressman. They're not voting for a president. They're not voting for a senator. And that's what this election's been all about from the outset.
Republican candidate James Sperling in Tuesday's special congressional election in Michigan. Lebanon has urged the United Nations Security Council to take appropriate and efficient means to stop Israel from raiding Lebanese territory. Israel said the raid was in retaliation for a terrorist attack in Israel Thursday, in which 18 Israelis were killed. Secretary of State Henry Kissinger returns to the Middle East in a couple of weeks. The American Secretary of State will be making the trip as part of his effort to arrange the separation of troops between Syria and Israel. Both countries reported fierce fighting in the Golan Heights Monday, and defense ministers of Syria and Israel toured the battle area. At the special session of the United Nations, the U.S. pledged to make a major effort to assist developing countries, but Secretary Kissinger warned them against the use of the politics of pressure and threats. He said large price increases could produce global inflation, followed by global recession, from which no nation could escape. The Cost of Living Council has lifted wage and price controls from food retailers and wholesalers. More after this.
Pollution, crime, substandard housing, energy crisis, corruption, inequality, vandalism. If you don't like these conditions, you can do something about it. Law Day, May 1st, reminds us that the great thing about our system is that people can have a voice in improving it if they understand it and if they use that voice in the many ways possible. Through involvement, like helping to register voters, campaigning for candidates, voting, people of all ages can work to bring about change lawfully. But with almost half the population under 25, youth can make the difference. Learning what can be done and how should begin at an early age. Law Day urges young America to lead the way. Help preserve good laws. Help change bad laws. Help make better laws. A public service message of the American Bar Association and your state and local bar associations.
Someone, as yet unidentified in Brazil, has won the world's largest lottery. The winner correctly chose the results of 13 soccer games played this weekend. The amount of the prize, $2,291,000. I'm Jim Kilpatrick, CBS News.
Oregon State Senator Keith Burbidge has proposed Amtrak provide daily rail service between Eugene and Seattle. Burbidge says if Amtrak expands its service, a train would leave Eugene at 5:30 a.m. each day. The Oregon Board of Education will meet Friday to discuss teaching the metric system to public school children. The plan is to convert all Oregon public school operations to the metric system by 1983. Oregon Senator Bob Packwood says he'll ask Senator Warren Magnuson of Washington to immediately open hearings on a bill that would allow fertilizer to be shipped from Alaska to the Northwest on foreign ships. A Portland man, 43-year-old Eugene Borg, accidentally shot and killed himself today. Police say his revolver discharged as he was taking it out of his car. Weather for Portland, Vancouver, fair tonight and tomorrow, but morning clouds. Partly cloudy then tomorrow night and Wednesday. The lows about 40 degrees, highs between 60 and 65. Rain chance 10% through tomorrow night. Right now in downtown Portland, we have 51 degrees.
CBS News. Marcus Wayne Chenault's lawyer says his client, charged in the slaying of Mrs. Martin Luther King Sr., tried to hold a multi-city news conference by telephone Friday, but was prevented from doing so by Atlanta District Attorney Louis Slayton. I'm Christopher Glenn, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Chenault's lawyer said he'll now seek a court order to permit Chenault to hold a news conference next week in the jail in which he's being held. District Attorney Slayton said he would not allow the telephone news conference Friday because, as he put it, we don't want to prejudice any prospective jurors that might serve in the case. But Chenault's lawyer did say Friday that his client had told him he found out where Mrs. King was during the services at the Ebenezer Baptist Church last Sunday by asking parishioner Mrs. Jimmy Mitchell. Mrs. Mitchell pointed out Dr. Martin Luther King Sr., whom Chenault has said was his intended target, and also noted that Dr. King's wife was at the organ. Mrs. Mitchell herself was wounded during the shooting. The jury selection process continued late into the night in San Antonio, where 18-year-old Elmer Wayne Henley goes on trial Monday, charged with the murders of six of the 27 known victims of a sex and torture ring in Houston. District Judge Preston Dial earlier Friday dismissed seven prospective jurors who had been chosen in a closed courtroom earlier in the week. The court was reopened to spectators and the news media only after some newsmen threatened to appeal the judge's ruling closing the court to the Texas Supreme Court. As of late Friday, 31 of the 32 prospective jurors needed to get the trial underway had been chosen. Court was then recessed for the weekend. Attempts will be made to choose the final member of the panel on Monday. More CBS News after this.
Subaru, it saves you money. Subaru, it saves you gas. Subaru has front-wheel drive. Subaru, it's built to last. It's got a quadrifoil engine, handles easy too. We can sell it on gas mileage alone, but you get more car with a Subaru.
These days, if you want to keep going, you've got to have a car that makes every gallon of gasoline count. And according to a recent nationwide survey conducted by National Analyst, Subaru owners report over 27 miles per gallon. That's right, over 27 miles per gallon. That means when you fill up your Subaru, one tank full will keep you going for over 300 miles. Over 300 miles of non-stop driving. Test drive the front-wheel drive Subaru today. At over 27 miles per gallon, it'll keep you going.
It's got a quadrizotal engine, handles easy too. We can sell it on gas mileage alone, but you get more car with a Subaru.
48-year-old Dean Hoxsey wants to come home to the United States after 17 years as a citizen of the Soviet Union. The Soviets apparently have okayed the idea, having granted him an exit visa, but U.S. officials reportedly have been unwilling to grant him entry papers for this country. Hoxsey went to a 1957 World Youth Conference in Russia as a communist delegate, stayed, and became a Soviet citizen. Now, Hoxsey's 70-year-old mother, Mrs. Leon Hugo of Napa, California, says she's working with her congressman and senator to try to get immigration officials to let him in as a relative of U.S. citizens. She also told CBS News her son ran into some trouble when he tried recently to get inside the U.S. Embassy in Moscow.
He went to the American Embassy there, and the Soviet guards didn't want to let him in, so the man handled him, and then one of the U.S. Embassy men came out, and he called to them and said that he was an American. And so then they released him, and he went in and made application at that time with the American Embassy there. He had his California driver's license still in his wallet.
Mrs. Hugo said that she disagrees with her son's communist philosophy, but would welcome him back. More after this.
Do you think a computer programmer needs the use of his legs? New York University doesn't. They hired a man who's almost totally paralyzed. Yet they'll be the first to admit Tom Clancy's one of the best computer programmers they ever had. Of course, Tom Clancy's just one person, but there are millions of men and women in this country very much like him. People who have accepted their disabilities and come through rehabilitation with skills, determination, and a sense of responsibility. Yes, Tom Clancy's got a very good job. But what about all the others? The Director of Vocational Rehabilitation in your state has a file of highly qualified people in every field, ready, willing, and able to work. If you're not in a position to hire them, talk to someone who is. And next time there's an opening in your company, ask him to write the Director of Vocational Rehabilitation. His office is in your state capital.
A public service message brought to you on behalf of the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare and the Advertising Council.
Thunderstorms darkened the second day of the long holiday weekend in parts of the Northeast Friday afternoon, and in New York City's Central Park, a 15-year-old girl was killed when struck by lightning as she and two sisters, 11 and 5, hurried from a dip in a small lake as the storm hit. The two younger girls were hurt by the bolt, one of them critically. Barbara Mandel has given up her fight to remain the wife of the governor of Maryland. Last year, Mrs. Mandel refused to move out of the governor's mansion for nearly 6 months after her husband announced he was in love with another woman whom he intended to marry. Mandel himself moved into a hotel room during that period. Friday, Mrs. Mandel filed for divorce. Christopher Glenn, CBS News.
There's this guy lives on my street who'd rather drive than walk 10 feet. It's something just to watch him start his day. Well, there he sits behind the wheel all alone in his automobile, using all that gas to get himself to town. This guy's a clown.
He ought to pull his resources, share a ride with a neighbor.
Make a friend and maybe save some money, too. And so should you. Well, there's this other guy I know who's found a better way to go. He's saving gas and money each and every day. He only drives one day a week, takes it easy, so to speak. His pocketbook will prove he really ain't no fool. He's in a carpool. We've got to pool our resources, share a ride with the neighbor, make a friend, and maybe save some money, too. Why couldn't you? Pick up the phone and call CARPOOL. They'll tell you how.
A-O-I-N.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Welcome to the Sounds of Suspense.
Justice, the noblest creation and the highest ideal of man. The foundation of all religion and the cornerstone of every law. Justice, the birthright of every human being on the face of the earth. Justice, we're brought up to believe in it, to expect it. But what about those people who suddenly discover that for them, there isn't any justice?
You just don't go around killing people, Eddie.
But there are people who have to be killed.
The war's over. It's been over for a long time.
No, it isn't. Not for me.
Eddie, you're home now. Don't you understand?
We can only have justice through the law.
Okay. Tell me. Will the law give us justice?
I just told you we have no evidence.
Okay. No justice from the law. So where and to whom do we go for justice? Tell me. Does that mean there isn't going to be any justice?
Our mystery drama, Only the Dead Remember, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Tony Roberts and Mandel Kramer. It is sponsored in part by the Kellogg Company, makers of Kellogg's Special K cereal and new sugar-free diet 7-Up. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love. To your love. But give your allergy to contact.
Allergy is our business, too. We know pollen. And we know that any of the 12,000 quarts of air you breathe each day may contain enough pollen to make your eyes itch, make you sneeze, and drip. We also know an ingredient that helps block pollen's bad effects. It's the antihistamine most prescribed by allergy specialists. It's an ingredient in contact.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love.
Tiny time pills in one contact keep this antihistamine working up to 12 full hours, all day, all night.
Give your allergy to contact.
Take contact only when needed, only as directed.
It's July clearance time at Janssen Beach Center with really great buys in every store. Clearance prices throughout the center. There are good buys, shopping convenience, and old-fashioned fun, too. A great carnival on the parking lot now through Sunday. A gigantic fireworks display the evening of July 3rd and 4th. All this plus the shopping comfort of air-conditioned malls. Do it now. Shop the July clearance sale at Janssen Beach Center and be sure and pick up your five ride for a dollar coupons at any store. Janssen Beach Center, I-5 at Janssen Beach.
Please place your baggage on the counter, sir. The carts may not be used beyond this point.
This is Martin Milner. If you've never been through customs before, you may find it a little overwhelming.
Can I have your attention, please? Passengers, continue.
No, before you go. The U.S. Treasury Department's Bureau of Customs has prepared a free booklet that can help. It's called Customs Hints for Returning U.S. Residents, and you can get it at the Customs Service District Office nearest you. Listed in the phone book under U.S. Government.
Time. Ever since he came home from one of our wars, Eddie Benson has been looking for someone. Those vital years of his life that might have been invested in a career, devoted to a family, have instead been devoured by an all-consuming search as Eddie Benson roamed the length and breadth of America, supporting himself by his nimble and sensitive fingers, playing the piano. In grimy saloons, in sophisticated night spots, but always looking, always listening, ever alert for a clue that could lead to his quarry. Well, now, tonight, suddenly the manhunt will come to an end in a cocktail lounge in a northwestern city just a few minutes before midnight. Odd how a search so intense could be climaxed by a discovery so casual. How so serious and deadly a crusade can be capped with a laugh? That laugh. Eddie Benson hasn't heard that laugh in years. That laugh. He would recognize it anywhere. It could only belong to one person. And now Eddie's fingers slide softly and swiftly over the keyboard and find a melody. A pretty little melody that has a special meaning for certain people. Especially for that comfortable-looking man at the corner table. The man with that laugh.
So I said to her, "My dear, if I were to get married again, it would be the triumph of hope over experience."
Yeah, Mr. Jackson, that's a good one, all right. What's the matter, Mr. Jackson?
The matter?
Are you okay? You got a funny look on your face all of a sudden.
Hey, Millie.
You didn't get sick or something?
Who's that? Who's that playing the piano tonight?
Oh, there's some guy filling in for Woody. You know?
No. For a minute, though, I thought he may look familiar. That's just my imagination. Millie?
What is it, Mr. Jackson?
Ask him if he'll,
You got a request, Mr. Jackson?
Yeah, I have. Ask him to quit playing that song.
You don't like it? It's kind of a catchy tune.
Just give him this. Tell him to play something else.
Eddie.
You got a request.
Request in reverse. A customer says to take this $10 and quit playing with your...
What's this character's name?
Jackson. R.J. Jackson.
I see. R.J. Jackson. Does he, live around here?
No, up on the hill. All kinds of money.
Figures.
Huh?
It's funny, Millie. How it ends. Where it ends. There were times I thought it would never end. All these years, it kind of took over, you know. It became a way of life.
Look, I wish I knew what you were talking about.
No, you don't, Millie. I think I'll split.
You mean walk out? You can't just walk out on
the... How'd you like to make $10?
All depends.
You keep the 10 spot, and as soon as I'm out of here, you go up to him, good old R.J. Jackson, see, and you say to him, "Mother Hennessy's chickens are coming home to roost."
You're kidding.
Say it. You're $10 ahead.
Yeah, but you can't just quit in the middle of playing.
Remember the chickens, Millie. See you around.
Yeah. Oh, boy. The more I get to know musicians. Now, how'd that go? Mother Hennessy's chickens. Mr. Jackson, the piano player, he wanted me to tell you something.
Yeah? I bet it's thanks. That's the easiest $10 he ever made.
Well, what he wanted to tell you was...
Yep. Well?
Well, he said, let's see, Mother Hennessy's chickens are coming home to roost.
What's that?
I'm sure that's what he said. Mother Hennessy's chickens are...
No.
Mr. Jackson. Hey, somebody, give me a hand, quick, he's fainted.
And you know what time it is? It happens to...
I got a message for you, Tom. Mother Hennessy's chickens are coming home to roost.
What? What did you say? Who is this? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
It's Bill Trump.
but I expect him. Who's calling?
Is this his wife?
Yes, I'm Liz Traynor.
Will you take a message?
Well, of course.
Tell him Mother Hennessy's chickens are coming home to roost.
Yes?
That's all.
You're joking. Hello? Hello?
Hi, darling.
Oh, Bill. You just missed a phone call.
Oh, never mind that. What did the doctor say?
Oh, things are just fine. He'll be born on schedule.
You mean you won't take a girl?
Darling, I'll take whatever we can get.
I can't believe it, honey. After all this time, everything but everything is going our way. You know, Tom worked out the contract.
Oh, Bill. Oh, I'm so happy.
We're going to be rich, honey. We're going to own a business. And we're going to be parents. What were you saying about a phone call?
Oh, well, a man just called. Oh, mysterious. Hmm? He said to tell you that, Mother Hennessy's chickens are coming home to roost.
He said what?
Well, that's what he said. And he hung up. Can it mean anything?
Oh, no. Nothing at all. Just forget it.
What about dinner? Bill, dinner?
Did the man say anything else?
Bill, you're so pale.
Honey, believe me, this is really nothing that should concern you.
The key is the name Hennessy.
Where should we go to dinner?
Darling, you're trying to distract me. Hennessy, we don't know any Hennessy.
Look, honey, I've just been going at a very fast pace, and...
Hennessy's chickens. That combination is familiar.
Darling, I'm really very hungry.
I've got it. Your old army outfit is holding a reunion.
What do you know about my old army outfit?
Oh, nothing. Nothing at all, except you and Tom Wilson were in it together. You were in Korea. You were prisoners, and you refused to talk about it, even to me.
Why do you say we're having a reunion?
Hennessy. What? Last year when we moved into this house, I was putting a lot of your old stuff away. There was an army picture of you and Tom Wilson. Well, you must have been all of 18, and two other young soldiers. In the middle, an older man, a sergeant. And underneath it, you had written Mother Hennessy's chickens. It just clicked in my mind. That sergeant, that older man.
He was all of 26.
Well, his name was Hennessy, wasn't it?
Yes.
And he looked after all of you like a mother hen.
Yes.
And now you're having a reunion. Oh, Bill, what a wonderful person that Sergeant Hennessy. I want to meet him.
No, you can't.
Why?
He's dead.
Oh. Was he killed in the war?
In the prison camp.
Bill, that music, that piano.
Hmm?
Don't you hear it? It's coming from the living room. Someone's playing the piano. I didn't hear anyone ring the bell. Well, let's go see.
No.
But someone's in the apartment.
Liz, stay here.
Bill.
I want you to stay in the bedroom.
But why?
Liz, in all the years we've been married, I never asked you to do anything just because I said so. But I'm asking you now, please.
All right, Bill.
Just for a while. Hello, Eddie.
Front door was open. I just walked in.
Well, you're welcome, Eddie. It's been a long time.
A lifetime. Nice layout.
Yeah. I've done well.
I'm sure you deserve it.
I went to school on the GI Bill, became an engineer.
I always said you had the stuff, Billy.
I'm going to own a good-sized electronics company.
That's nice.
Our old buddy Tom Wilson, remember him?
Who could ever forget Tom?
Well, he's drawing up the contract and became a lawyer. What about yourself, Eddie?
Me?
Yeah, a fellow with your talent, the way you could write songs. Like this one, for Hennessy. We all figured we'd hear you doing Broadway musicals, coming up with top hits.
Well, been too busy.
Doing what?
Looking for somebody. Looking for an old friend of ours.
Bill, I had a phone call. The craziest phone call.
Hello, Tommy.
Eddie. Hey, Eddie Benson. It could only have been you. Where you been hiding?
Tom? Billy? I got the greatest news in the world. I found him.
Hmm?
Finally found him.
You finally found who?
The needle in the haystack and on the beach. It was such a long time. It was such a long search.
Eddie, who did you find?
Who do you think? Myers.
Myers? R.J. Myers?
He doesn't call himself Myers anymore, but it's still R.J. Robert Joseph. Or, as Hennessy said, our own little Bobby Joe.
That's incredible.
Except he's not so little anymore. He's a very portly gentleman these days.
You say you found him?
I found him.
What did you say to him, Eddie?
Nothing.
Well, how could you just say nothing?
Tom, you, Billy, and I, we've got nothing to say to Bobby Joe. I just made sure where we could find him, and I came here to pick up you two guys.
Eddie...
I have a 45. What do you guys want to use?
Eddie, what are you saying?
I'm saying if we leave now, we can fly to where he is in less than 3 hours and kill before midnight.
Kill. Into the pleasant, well-ordered, comfortable world of Bill Traynor and Tom Wilson, there suddenly intrudes a strange, terrifying, an ugly word. It's not a word of this world. It's a word that belongs to another world. A world of pain and horror. A world that they thought was dead and gone. We'll continue in that world when I return shortly with Act Two.
Hi, I'm Goldilocks. Miss Goldilocks, if you please. And I'm a professional taste tester. Here at my taste test laboratory, that's TTL for short, I taste test everything from porridge to diet drinks. Actually, there's not that much taste testing in porridge these days. There used to be once upon a time. I mean, that's how this miss got into the biz. But lately, it's been diet drinks. I mean, with so many diet drinks going sugar-free, I've been really busy conducting taste tests. A rather unbearable assignment, to be sure. But then I discovered sugar-free diet 7-Up. Fresh, natural, delicious. My only problem is that sugar-free diet 7-Up tastes so good that it broke my Goldilocks diet drink taste-o-meter. Well, sugar-free diet 7-Up certainly has my seal of approval. This one's just right.
Sometimes a gentle rain in one place adds up to a raging torrent in another. A torrent that can uproot lives as well as trees. To remedy the things that can be remedied in a disaster, America has a unique emergency force. The American Red Cross, America's good neighbor. Red Cross is on call 24 hours a day, every day, to cope with emergencies, whether they're on the next block or a continent away. Most of the help that's given is from volunteers. The money's from volunteers, too. Volunteers like you. If you need help, join us. If you can give help, join us. The American Red Cross. Help us help people, just like you. When they were 19 years old, Eddie Benson, Bill Traynor, and Tom Wilson suffered and starved and froze in a prison camp in North Korea. Now it's a lifetime later. And to Tom and Bill, Korea is barely a dream. But Eddie Benson is still stuck deep in the nightmare, still determined to carry out a deadly promise they made to each other long ago.
I thought you two guys would be glad to see me. Now. Now we can keep our promise.
What promise?
Tom, you're kidding, aren't you? Bill, you remember the promise the three of us made?
Well, do you?
Yes.
It was more than a promise.
Eddie.
It was an oath.
Look, Eddie.
No, you look, Tom. You look back at a mound of dirt in that prison camp in Korea. You look back and see three guys, were kneeling next to that mound of dirt because it's Hennessy's grave. Look back and hear us. Hear us swear never to rest, never to stop, never to know a moment's peace until we kill Robert Joseph Myers.
Eddie, how could we just kill him?
How? Simple. Blow his brains out.
You live in another world, whether you realize it or not. Now, you just don't go around killing people.
But there are people who have to be killed, Tom.
You're not in combat. The war's over.
Not yet.
Eddie, you're home. There's the law. Now, what will you tell the police?
The truth.
What's the truth?
You know the truth as well as I do, Tom. Myers turned rat in Korea. He gave away our escape plan, and he got Hennessy killed for it.
But can you be sure it was Myers?
We know it was Myers. We knew, didn't we? Bill.
I guess we did.
All right, tell me this. If we were so sure, why didn't we denounce him 6 months later after we were freed?
Why?
You know why, Tom. You were the law student. You said don't denounce him.
I said?
You said. We had no hard evidence. A smart defense lawyer could get him acquitted at a court-martial. That's what you said.
All I said was, I wished we had more evidence.
You said we would have to get Myers by ourselves. That's what you said. We would find him, kill him, and announce it to the whole world. And that's what we swore we would do. Do you remember, Bill?
I remember.
Tom.
All right, Eddie. All right. That was a long time ago.
That doesn't mean it didn't happen.
No, but it means it happened in another time, in another place, under different rules.
In other words, you're not willing to do it.
I can't do it. I'm an attorney, a member of the bar. I simply cannot be an accessory to a felony.
Okay. Bill, what's your excuse?
I'm not aware that I need an excuse.
I spent my life looking for Bobby Joe so that justice could be done.
Eddie, we can only have justice through the law.
Okay. Tell me then. Will the law give us justice?
We have no evidence.
Okay. No justice from the law then. Tell me. In that case, where and to whom can we go for justice? Well, does your silence mean there isn't going to be any justice?
Eddie.
Eddie what? Hennessy saved the lives of each of us more times than we can count. If it weren't for him, none of us would be around today. He was betrayed. He was murdered because of Robert Joseph Myers. Now, is that going to be the end of it?
Eddie, there are certain realities.
I know what you think, Tom. Bill, I want to hear you say something.
I wish I knew what to say. You've got nothing to lose, Eddie.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it comes down to, doesn't it? I'm just Crazy Eddie, the piano player. You guys. Pillars of the community. Rich, respectable. Gutless. Well, I'll do it alone.
Eddie, there must be another way out of this.
Tell me about it.
Look, I don't want him to go unpunished either. But Eddie, what's wrong? Eddie?
I don't know.
Hey, Eddie.
Get me a drink of water.
Tom, hold on. I'm going to pass out.
Let him sleep.
What's the matter with him, Doctor?
Well, I'd say this man's been living on his nerves for a long, long time.
What can we do for him?
Let him sleep. For a week, if you can. And whatever you do, see that nothing excites him.
I'm afraid that's going to be difficult.
Why?
Oh, it's a long story.
He needs rest. Needs calm. Call me tomorrow.
Yes, Doctor.
Bill?
Try to get some sleep, Eddie.
I feel so tired. I'll just rest a while, okay?
Sure.
I never felt so tired, except when we were in Korea. Remember?
Yeah.
Remember, Hennessy would keep us awake while we were on guard.
Sure.
You were his favorite.
Oh, he didn't play favorites.
He liked you more than the rest of us because you were the best soldier.
Eddie, try to get some sleep.
I don't care about Tom, but you. Especially you. You have to help me kill Myers.
Eddie, you need your sleep.
Yeah. I'll sleep a little, and then when I feel stronger, we'll go get him. You have to help me, Bill. After all, if it weren't for you,
if it weren't for me, what, Eddie? Eddie?
Sergeant Hennessy, get me out of here. Hennessy, help me. Please, don't leave me alone.
Ew. I'm sorry. I was having a nightmare.
Oh, darling, look, you just can't keep torturing yourself.
Oh, Liz, what am I going to do?
It'll be all right.
No, Liz, whatever I do, it won't be all right. It won't.
Oh, sure, you just can't.
Just can't what?
Oh, I better not say any more.
Why did Eddie have to show up now?
Darling, what are you going to do?
I don't know. But I just can't go and kill Myers. It would be throwing away my whole life. Yours as well. Liz, please help me.
I can't help you. No one can help you.
It's all set. We have the closing tomorrow. You'll own a factory, Bill, my friend.
Yeah.
Is Eddie better?
Yeah. He's sitting up now, getting an appetite. In a couple of days, the doctor says he can be out of bed.
You know what we have to do, don't you? We have to get word to Myers somehow. I don't like this any more than you do, but we have to warn him to keep out of sight for a while.
I suppose.
Has he told you where Myers is living?
No. He won't even tell me what name Myers is using.
Why?
I don't think he trusts us, Tom. He thinks we betrayed him and Hennessy.
Bill.
Look, Tom, what's the use? In a sense, we have betrayed Hennessy.
We've
even betrayed ourselves.
It's all part of what you have to do to live. Now, we must find out where Myers is.
Eddie won't tell me.
He might tell me. I'll get it out of him somehow. We'll save him yet, in spite of himself.
Oh, I'm freezing. It's so cold. So cold.
Bill, darling, you're having a bad dream.
What?
Wake up.
Can't we build a fire? Why won't they let us build a fire?
Bill!
A fire.
Bill, please.
Why can't they let us have a fire?
Bill.
Eddie.
Yes.
Eddie?
We've got to break out of here tomorrow night. Hennessy said to tell you.
We won't have a chance. We better not.
We'll die if we stay here, Tom.
He's right, Tom.
You guys know where we have to meet.
Yeah, Tom and I. Did you call Myers?
No.
Why not?
Myers isn't going.
Why not?
Shut up, Bill.
You can't tell who's around.
Hennessy says Myers can't cut it.
But he's one of us. We can't leave him here.
Hennessy says we can't take a chance on him.
No.
No, what?
Without Hennessy and us around to protect him, he'll die here. I'm going to talk to Hennessy. I'll convince him. I'll convince Hennessy that we have got to take Myers. I'll convince him.
Bill, wake up. Darling, you're dreaming again.
What? Yeah.
Bill, are you all right?
Yeah, I'm all right. Only sometimes I don't know which is the dream. This or Korea.
Hi, Hi, darling.
Oh, hello, Bill. Tom's here.
Oh?
Yeah, he's inside talking to Eddie.
I've got something to say to Eddie, too. Look, I almost forgot you saw the doctor today. Is there anything?
Oh, everything's just fine.
Oh, Liz, this should be the happiest part of my life.
I know, Bill.
I'll be right out. Well, how is everybody?
I want to thank you for everything, Bill.
Oh, it's nothing.
I'm leaving tonight.
Leaving? Where to?
There's a promise I have to keep.
See if you can talk him out of it, Bill. He won't listen to me. He won't tell me anything either.
I won't try to talk you out of anything, Eddie. I want to go with you.
Bill! What for? To help me or to stop me?
I don't know. I just feel that I have to face Myers with you. And then... Well, right now, I don't know.
Fellas, if this is the way the conversation is going, I have to leave. I can't be part of what happens.
Well, Eddie, where are we going?
I'll tell you when we get there.
What's the matter? Don't you trust me?
Are you going to try to save him?
I don't know what I'm going to do.
We're in this because you tried to save him the last time, you remember?
Yes, I remember. When are we leaving?
Tonight.
All right, I'll go pack.
You don't need much. Just a toothbrush, a razor, and a revolver.
The decisions have been made. Or have they? Tom stays, Bill goes. But what is it that Bill will do when he faces Myers? Right now, his emotions are those of a 19-year-old. But how long can those emotions sustain a man who is close to 40? We'll know when I return shortly with Act 3.
And now, another story of the ball and chain as Kellogg's Special K presents The Library.
Welcome to the public library. May I help you, sir?
Yes, I'd like to check out... I'd like to check out Famous Laundromats of the World by Audrey Schnorbart.
Sir, excuse me, but isn't that ball and chain you're wearing just like the ones they use in the Kellogg Special K commercials?
This ball and chain?
Yes, that one. How are you going to get rid of it?
Well, you know, lots of good exercises, and by eating smart at every meal, starting with the Special K breakfast.
Don't you have to watch your calories?
Yes, and the Special K breakfast is less than 240 calories.
Less than 240 calories?
Right. A 1-ounce bowl of high-protein Special K, 4 ounces of skim milk, tomato juice, and coffee. It's really tasty, and it's going to help me get rid of this ball and chain. I'd say it's long overdue. Get it?
Your happy ending could begin with the Special K breakfast from Kellogg's.
The Lone Ranger and Tonto are camped in the woods just outside of town when suddenly the great horse Silver rears and...
Coming.
Yes, Tonto. Silver senses trouble. Come on.
Quickly, the masked rider of the plains and his faithful Indian companion head into the thick underbrush.
Smell smoke, Kimazami. Over there, Tonto. Hurry.
Suddenly, they come upon a clearing, and there, just inches from the hanging branches of a giant tree, a smoldering campfire.
Quick, Tonto. Grab that empty bucket.
As Tonto hurries to a nearby stream, the Lone Ranger stirs the fire until the embers cool. Then, Tonto returns and drowns the fire twice.
Good work, Tonto.
But what about men who start fire?
Well, Tonto, they have a choice. Either they'll put an end to careless fires, or they'll put an end to the forest. Let's go.
Hello, Silver! Away!
A public service on behalf of the Forest Service, State Foresters, and the Ad Council. Many of us spend our lives searching for the truth. But what is the truth? When are we closest to the basic essence of our existence? Is it when we have the experience and wisdom of age, or the fire and idealism of youth? We keep asking, what is the truth? The answer is, each man must find his own truth.
Liz! Liz! Eddie's gone.
Yes, I know.
You know?
Well, I went into his room to see if he was up to having dinner, and He wasn't there.
But I was supposed to go with him.
I know that, too.
How did you know? I didn't tell you.
Oh, darling, you didn't have to tell me.
Well, then how?
I have faith in you, Bill. I have faith that... in the end, you will do what's right.
Looks as if I'm not going to do anything with Eddie gone.
Do you really want to find him?
But how? How can I even begin to look?
I know where he went.
You know? How do you know?
Well, while he was sick, I sent his clothes to the cleaners, and in his pocket there was an airline return ticket.
A ticket to where?
Now, look, Bill, I won't tell you unless you take me with you.
And you can't go in your condition.
Bill, but we have to do this together.
But it might be dangerous.
You're wasting our time, Bill. We should be getting the next plane for Central City.
Oh, boy, I didn't realize how hungry I was.
Well, we missed dinner last night.
Now, tell me something. How do we find Eddie in a city this size?
Oh, where's the waitress? Oh, miss... could you bring us the morning paper, please?
How's the paper going to help us?
Well, the paper would carry ads for the night spots where he might have worked.
Hey, it's right. If he found Myers, it would probably be in a bar or a club.
Yes. Oh, thank you, miss.
All right, darling, you go through the ads, Sal. Just sit and finish this coffee. Mm-hmm. Then I'll start looking for Eddie.
Well, I intend to go with you.
Oh, no. No, you don't. It's miserable out. It's snowy. Now, you stay in the hotel. I can find him.
Bill. Oh, Bill, we won't find Eddie.
What do you mean?
Look at what it says.
Hmm?
Here in the paper.
Let's see.
Yeah. Eddie is dead.
What? Musician found shot to death. Police puzzled by mysterious murder. Body discovered in hotel room. No apparent motive. Eddie dead? How yeah. can he be? Only yesterday.
Well, do the police have anything to go on?
No. It says here no leads, no clues. Liz, it had to happen last night. Someone was waiting for him. It has to be Myers.
Well, look, we better tell the police.
But Eddie said that's not the name Myers is using. We don't know who he is.
Liz! Bill!
Tom, what are you doing here?
I just got in. I checked the hotels and ran you down.
Then you know.
Yeah, I saw it in the paper. That's why I flew out here.
But Tom...
What?
How could you...
Liz, what is it?
Oh, nothing.
Poor Eddie. You know what this means? We're both in trouble now, you and I.
Why?
Well, it's obvious Myers knew Eddie was after him, so he killed him.
Tom, we have no choice. We have got to find Myers.
But while we don't know who he is, he knows who we are. In this big city, who is Myers? He could kill us from ambush and get away with it.
Oh, Bill.
Of course, there's one thing we could do.
Yes?
Call it off.
How?
Take the next plane out of here. That would be our way of telling Myers it's all over.
Is that what you want to do?
I'm not saying it's what I want to do. I'm listing our options.
I think we have to find Myers, Tom. This time we can turn him over to justice. Well, it's funny the way it worked out. Eddie had to die so that justice could settle accounts with Myers.
We have to find him first.
All right, we'll try all the music places. Liz, you stay here and stick close to the phones. If either of us gets the lead, we'll be in touch.
Piano player where he learned it. He learned it from me. I hum it all the time.
He says to me, "Hey, Millie, I like that." Now he plays it all the time.
I knew the man who wrote it. Eddie.
Oh, you knew Eddie?
Sure, we were good friends.
That's a shame what happened to him. He was, somebody once told me a word. Mercurial. Yeah, he was a mercurial character.
That he was.
A guy like him. Oh, he got a lot of people sore at him. Well, at least he left a pretty tune to remember him by. I just can't get it out of my head. Everybody loves it. Well, almost everybody. I know one character who didn't.
That's so?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, it was Eddie's last night on the job. He was playing the tune. And then this guy, who comes in here all the time, this guy wanted to give him $10 just to quit playing it.
You're kidding.
No, it's a fact.
Do you know the guy?
Oh, sure. He's a regular. Oh, he hasn't been in lately. Yeah, one thing I got to say about old R.J. Jackson, he's got a tin ear.
R.J. Jackson. Tell me more about him.
Hello?
Liz, I found him. Tell you later. His name is R.J. Jackson. He has a place out in the country up in the mountains. I'm going there now.
Oh,
as soon as Tom checks in with you, tell him to take Route 603 to Mountain Lane. Turn right and go up the hill as far as he can. That's the place.
But, Bill, there's so much snow.
Keep the roads clear up there.
Bill, I must tell you, I know what bothers me about
Liz,
Tom.
I want to get started.
Look, how did Tom know to come to Central City? We didn't tell him where we were going.
He said he read about Eddie in the morning paper.
Yes, but Tom was already in Central City early this morning. How did he get
Darling,
here?
Darling, you're talking about Tom. Now, I'm sure he... Look, honey, I have got to be on my way. Hi, Tom. Glad you made it.
Yeah. I guess this is as far as the car can take us. It's that house on the top of the hill.
Yeah.
I think we should have sent the police.
How? Once again, we don't have the evidence.
And what are we going up there for? To kill him ourselves?
No. I think we can get a confession out of him.
Oh, sure.
Now, look, he's human. He's got a guilty conscience. He'll break down. He has to. Now, come on. Looks like Korea, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Miles and miles of nothing. You can just sink into the snow. It's just the end of everything.
That's far enough.
What?
Stay where you are.
Look in the doorway. It's Myers. He's
got a rifle.
You're trespassing. Now get out of here, or I'll shoot.
You wouldn't shoot us, Myers.
My name isn't Myers. Now get out of here.
We have to talk with you, R.J. We're coming up.
I'm warning you.
Come on, R.J. You can't get away with it.
Look out!
Stay low, Tom. There's a line of trees leading up to the house. We'll work our way in.
Bill, this guy can kill both of us.
I don't think he wants to.
Are you crazy? This is the man who just killed Eddie last night.
Right now, he's scared. Come on. Head for those trees.
Keep away! Keep away!
We'll try for that stone fence.
Tom!
What?
Put your gun away. I'm not going to let him pick me off. He'll show himself in the doorway when he wants to shoot again.
Don't. He's only trying to scare us off.
I see him.
Don't, Tom. Don't.
I got him. I got him. Look. He's on the ground.
Hurry up. Come on.
RJ.
Don't kill me. Don't shoot again. Get me a doctor.
You'll get a doctor. But first, we'll get a confession. Are you sold us out in the prison camp? Confess.
No. No, I didn't tell.
Let him alone. He'll confess later. Let's bring him inside.
No, he'll confess now. And when Eddie Benson found you, you shot him.
No, I didn't.
And who did?
I'm hurt bad. Get me to a doctor. Bill, you were always a good guy. Help me.
RJ, it was a long time ago. The world's forgotten. I don't even think you could be brought to trial for it. It's just among the three of us.
Now, I want you to confess.
I didn't do it. Honest. I didn't do it.
You did, because you didn't show up. You stayed behind. You told the guard.
No.
What did they give you? Did you have to kill Eddie, too?
I didn't kill anybody.
Yes, you did. We can get the waitress to testify. She'll tell how you saw Eddie in the lounge, how you passed out.
Well, sure, I was scared. Because you guys always thought it was me. But it could have been anybody. You, Tom.
What?
Or you, Bill. Or even Eddie himself.
Let's drag him down to my car and bring him in.
Tom.
Now, please. Haven't I suffered enough?
No, it's not enough.
Tom, how did you know about the waitress? Huh? How did you know about the waitress?
What? You told me.
No, I didn't tell you anything about the waitress. I just left a message for you to meet me here.
Well, I... Well, you must have said something about it to Liz.
But I didn't.
Well, then, how would I know?
How? Because Eddie told you.
Eddie? Why would Eddie
tell me? You said you could get it out of him. Did you tell him that I would never help him, but that you would? Is that how you got him to trust you?
Oh, come on. Why would I want to kill Eddie?
Because of that talk we had in my house. Maybe unconsciously, both Eddie and I started to think. Why were we always convinced that R.J. was the informer?
Because
you were the first one to accuse him. And who said not to denounce him to the army? You did, Tom. And who said let's hunt him down ourselves? You did. Why? Because you knew it would be impossible. You knew we would settle down in a civilian life and forget it.
Bill, you've got it wrong.
But you didn't figure on Eddie. You didn't figure one of us would spend his whole
Bill,
life...
Bill, you know me.
Everywhere you turn, it's you, Tom. You with all the shrewd answers. Why did you have to kill Eddie?
Because he was starting to talk just like you are. And then he figured it out. And he wanted to kill me. So I had to kill him. It was self-defense.
Tom.
I had to kill him. It was like it used to be. Back in combat. Kill or be killed.
You were the informer.
No, I informed, but I wasn't the informer. I just didn't do what Hennessy ordered. I didn't cover my tracks. That's why they found us.
What did they pay you?
Nothing. I wanted us to get caught.
You wanted it? Why?
Well, Hennessy was wrong. The only time in his life he was wrong. We could never have made it, Bill. All of us would have died in the snow. I was trying to save our lives. I tried to explain it to Hennessy. I tried, but he wouldn't listen. He would always say in that way of his, trust me, kid, it'll be okay. And I keep trying to explain to him. Believe me, I try. Every night for the last 20 years, I try to make him see it, but I can't find him. He's out there in the snow, and I can't find him.
All right, Tom, we better go back to town.
No, wait here. I'll find him. He can't have gone far. I'll find him. I'll explain why I did this. He'll forgive me. He'll understand.
Stop him, Bill. Stop him.
Understand.
He'll get lost out there. He'll freeze to death.
I can't leave you, RJ. I have to get you to a doctor. We'll come back for Tom. Later.
They found Tom Wilson later, much later, about the time of the spring thaw. The snow, the ice, had preserved the final expression on his face. It was one of peace and calm, as if he had actually found Hennessy, and Hennessy had forgiven him. Well, Hennessy would. He was that kind of man. I'll be back shortly.
It's safe to assume that some of you are listening to my voice from the inside of the wrong car. Not the wrong make, the wrong size. It's especially important these days that the cars we drive fit the way we use them. Now look around. If you've got more room than you've got passengers, maybe a smaller car would be better. If you've got wall-to-wall people, maybe the car is not big enough for the way you use it. And if you've taken the big car and left the small one for your wife to use for her carpools and shopping, Cub Scouts and whatever, well, we've got a message for you. If she hasn't given it to you already, make sure your car fits your lifestyle. Sometimes small is right. Sometimes big is right. Buick makes both right. From Opel to Electra 225, Buick has a car for the way you drive.
Some beer drinkers have funny ideas about beer. They think beer improves with age, like wine. Well, find a brewmaster, though. You'll find a beer drinker who knows better. The Budweiser brewmaster says it all depends on how beer is aged. Just letting beer sit in lagering tanks makes it older, not necessarily better. That even goes for keeping a case around the house for a couple of months. But there is one kind of aging that's good for beer, the Budweiser kind, beechwood aging. In this kind of aging, something happens. It lets all the flavor of the choicest hops and best barley malt that go into Budweiser get through to you. Sure, it takes more time and trouble to brew Budweiser that way, but brewing beer right does make a difference. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
The boy dreams. The man does. It's what we call the generation gap. And this is not the distance between parents and children. It is the unbridgeable abyss between what a man is today and what he wanted to be yesterday. But that's because you can only be young once. Something you can do more than once is listen. You can listen again and again to our Mystery Theater Tales. Our cast included Tony Roberts, Mandel Kramer, George Petrie, Bryna Rayburn, and Lon Clark. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Contact, the 12-hour allergy capsule, Buick Motor Division, and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
It's 11 o'clock at KOIN in Portland.
CBS News. A report out of Washington says a former employee of the Central Intelligence Agency made three trips to Cuba after becoming disgruntled with the CIA. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The Associated Press says the trips to Havana by the former CIA operative caused the agency to rearrange some of its Western Hemisphere operations.
The AP says the agent quit the CIA more than 5 years ago and apparently was unhappy with the agency at the time he left, and that officials later learned he was determined to do, say, or write things to expose agency activities. AP says its sources report it's presumed the ex-agent was cooperative while in Havana and that the Cubans passed the information along to the Soviet Union. More news after this message.
Now listen carefully, because this message may surprise you. There is an ingredient that can effectively help block pollen's bad effect on your system. Sneezing, sniffling, drips, itchy red watery eyes. It's the antihistamine most prescribed by allergy specialists, and it's an ingredient in Contac. Surprising, yes, but the true wonder of Contac is how our tiny time pills keep this antihistamine working, helping. Up to 12 hours per capsule, all day, all night. Allergy is our business, too.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love.
But give your allergy to Contac. Take Contac only when needed, only as directed.
In Washington, federal judge Gerhard Gesell has ordered Secretary of State Kissinger to be prepared to testify next week in the conspiracy and perjury trial of former presidential aide John Ehrlichman. Kissinger's name came up when the defense opened its presentation with an effort to tie the secretary to the chain of events that led to the burglary of the office of Daniel Ellsberg's psychiatrist. Judge Gesell refused to quash a subpoena for Kissinger's testimony. The secretary is now traveling on an official mission in Europe. One congressional probe into one aspect of the Watergate affair has apparently not produced the desired information. Daniel Shore has that story.
The Senate Watergate Committee staff has finished drafting the last chapter of its final report, and it admits defeat in trying to track down the $100,000 Howard Hughes Bebe Rebozo transaction. It cites Herbert Kalmbach's testimony that Rebozo told him in April last year of having given some of the money to President Nixon's two brothers and his secretary Rosemary Woods, but says it has not been able to develop supporting evidence. The staff says it also tried for months through the Federal Reserve and the Bureau of Engraving to check whether any of the money was put into circulation after July 1970, when Rebozo says he put it into a safe deposit box, but it admits striking out. No later bill was definitely identified. Efforts to check Rebozo's and the Nixon brothers' bank and business records were stymied by resistance to subpoenas, the report says, and while the courts upheld the subpoenas, time ran out on the investigation. The committee has turned over its files to the special prosecutor. A source there says that his investigation is continuing, but focusing on other elements in the Hughes contribution. Daniel Shore, CBS News, Washington.
The FBI has entered the case of the theft of an arsenal of weapons from a National Guard armory in Compton, California, near Los Angeles. Among the weapons taken were rifles, machine guns, and grenade launchers. Friday night, police said they're investigating the possibility the burglars may have had information from the inside. Police also said a terrorist group may have pulled off the theft. The Soviet news agency TASS says two Russian cosmonauts spent Friday testing equipment and carrying out scientific experiments. No time limit has been set for their stay in space, but Soviet officials are saying no attempt is being made to break the American Skylab records. Herbert Stein, President Nixon's chief economic advisor, says it seems the economy has stopped declining and predictions of a long and deep decline are not coming true. Stein says administration economic experts are still forecasting a rising economy in the second half of this year. Now this.
It's a beautiful day. I'm waxing my car, and my neighbor comes out with antifreeze. And I say, antifreeze now? And he starts to sing.
You can never back press down too early. Do it now, don't you wait. You can never back press down too early. You can only buy it too late.
Sounds crazy, but a 50-50 mix of Prestone 2 winter-summer formula and water, about 2 gallons for most cars, helps prevent boil over even in traffic jams, because it helps your cooling system handle heat better than water. fresh boilover protection and fresh corrosion protection, too. Because only Prestone 2 has a patented silicone silicate inhibitor system. Nothing beats it for corrosion protection. Summer, winter, all year round, you can never buy Prestone too early. You can only buy it too late.
You can't trust Prestone.
Who can you trust?
Vice President Ford Friday served as best man at his son's wedding. Ford's eldest son, Michael, was married to Gail Ann Brumbaugh at a church ceremony in Catonsville, Maryland. Michael Ford, who is now studying at a theological seminary, met his bride while both were attending Wake Forest University in North Carolina. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
Heading up to San Francisco for the Labor Day weekend show. I got my hush puppies on. I guess I never was meant for glitter rock and roll. And honey, I didn't know that I'd be missing you so. Come Monday, it'll be alright. Come Monday, I'll be holding you tight. I spent four lonely days in the brown early haze, and I just want you back by my side.